Hello and welcome to episode number 52 of Investing from the Beach. I'm your host, I'm Chris Hansen, and I've got my distinguished co-host with me today this evening, Mr. Chris Lamb.
Hey guys, it's Chris Lamb. I don't think it's evening.
Well, that's true. It is for some of us, depending on when you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, however you want to call it, or good day, better way to say it. If it's your first time to the show, the podcast is about how to think. Chris and I are about 18 years apart in age. We met at IBM. We both worked in sales. And as I was getting ready to find the door to leave IBM, Chris was coming in as an intern. We met there. Quickly realized we both had this great interest in the stock market, developed a friendship off that, and the friendship grew and grew and grew. And very lucky guy that I am. I've got a great friend as a result of that. I hit freedom when I was about 40. Walked away from IBM in late of 2002, I think. I think that's right. And Chris got there about 10 years later when he was about 30. And we've had tons of discussions along the way as to what it took to and what it takes to get to time freedom. And what it takes to maintain that essence, or if you will, the reality of time freedom. Huge, huge clarification to make. There's a lot of discussion going on these days about FIRE, financially independent, retire early. And there's a lot of discussion about financial freedom. And every time I hear people talk about that, what they seem to be referring to is the ability to leave your full-time job and either be in a one extreme in the FIRE group, you know, you go be a travel blogger, or, you know, you go live in some country elsewhere and, you know, do part-time work where they're enough to support yourself so you can go see the world and explore, which is all fine and wonderful. I'd look at it from the standpoint of what can I do so that my money is working for me so I don't have to work at all. I spend, you know, a few minutes a day, an hour a day, something like that, managing whether you have a hill of money, a small pile, or whether you have a mountain of it, and figure out how to get it to work for you. And that, to me, is a much better definition of freedom, which we call time freedom.
Yeah, that FIRE movement, I think it's still pretty new. It would be interesting to see it in about, you know, 5-10 years out, or maybe more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see, you know, what these guys have been blogging for the 15-20 years, and say, I don't think they'll tell you that it's freedom. Or it's, you know, fun doing it for 20 years.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. And it no longer becomes at some point some kind of a job.
Yeah. Because most of the time what I see, it's somebody's doing something for a long time, typically in corporate America, and they're tired of it. And so when they switch to something that's more self-employed, something new, different, it's exciting, it's fun, right, in the early maybe few years. You know, when you don't have that time freedom and you have to do this as a job, whatever that is, you're going to get burnt out. Right. And, you'll be kind of right in the same, situation that you were in corporate America.
There's that. And a lot of times the income source that you see from that is capped. There is a limit as to what can be made. Not always, but a lot of times you listen to the descriptions of what they're doing to earn a buck to stay in their quote-unquote freedom state.
Yeah, because it's dependent on your time.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. There's something in there. Or if it's not, there's some limiting factor in what the income can be without adding more time or people to the equation, which ultimately eats up more of the time, and suddenly you no longer have time freedom. Kind of the self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm getting tired because I think I said self-fulfilling prophecy.
Prophecy.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think I'm
posse.
Getting, yeah, something.
Yeah.
So
made me. I was gonna share something, make you laugh, but maybe I shouldn't.
No, go.
You sure.
Yeah.
Well, a little had to do my daughter, and she came into my room, and you know, I have these. Somebody gave me these. I'm a big fan of Bruce Lee.
Uh-huh.
And so I have this Bruce Lee action figure that someone gave me.
Is that a doll?
Kind of. It's like a plastic action figure. It's not I wouldn't call it a doll.
those of you that know him know I just pissed him off.
I was like, a doll. I was like, maybe if, you know.
Isn't that what an action figure is?
Is that it's like a formal English word for it? Or
well, what? I think that's what guys would call a doll.
Yeah, yeah. Guys love to play with Bruce Lee dolls.
Anyway, go back up. So you got this action, you have this Bruce Lee doll or action figure.
Uh-huh. And so she looks at it, she's like, oh. She's like, Brucey. She's like, Brucey. Right? And she's like, Daddy loves Brucey's. With that that your pronunciation of that.
Oh yeah, no, I understand. Very cool. So let's see. Going forward, by the way, if you are liking the show and have suggestions for us for future episodes, by all means, send us a note. You can reach us via email at investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. You want to go to the website, there's information out there. You can see to contact us. If you want to know what we look like, go click on that. It's investingfromthebeach.com. There's a reading list up there as well. It's got some suggested readings that you might enjoy. Other stuff around the website. Just click around. You may find stuff of interest. And if you'd rather leave something on voicemail for us, by all means do that. The number to reach us, area code 747-24-BEACH. Easy way to remember it. In 24 hours, you can jump on a 747 airplane, be at any beach in the world. And that's how you reach us. But leave us a voicemail. Got a number of messages in the last, actually the last few weeks that we'll be adding into a future episode coming up. So appreciate the calls letters that are coming in. We'll get back to those. So today's topic, of late there have been a huge number of articles and discussions going on with the fact that Amazon elected to no longer keep, what is it, HQ2, their second headquarter location in New York City. And the titles on the articles make me crack up because it says New York beats Amazon. And the politicians are coming out and saying, we defeated Amazon, you know, the big, you know, evil two-headed monster. We got them to leave New York. So we're big heroes and victors. And when I read that, I think, you got to be kidding me. New York did not win against Amazon. If they won against Amazon, Amazon would go out of business. They would not come here anymore. They would be gone. So New York did not beat Amazon. It's a crack up that anybody would say that. Total ignorance.
But it's like, if they did say that, what did they win?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, instead of what did you lose?
Yes, that's a good point. So by them going away, what did New York win?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a thing.
Yeah, I think maybe the whoever was trying to kick Amazon out, you know, maybe have won, you know, a higher seat on the political, you know, ladder.
Something.
You know, but other than that, you know, what did the city and what did the state win?
Yeah,
by not having Amazon there.
Well, I guess, and I'm not saying that this is right. Saying, well, you know, we didn't get held hostage to Amazon's demand that they get a lower tax rate for, you know, some type of tax subsidy for a period of time.
Yeah, I think the argument was that, you know, big businesses are doing so well and making so much money that you know, why are they needing all these tax incentives?
Mm-hmm. So it's an example of, would you rather have 90% of something or 100% of nothing? And in this case, by Amazon electing not to go there in New York is awesome. That's incredible that they got 100% of nothing. So they will get all the tax base of dollars that are earned, but now there's no one there. So I guess technically the one, because before they were getting, I'm making the number, I thought it was 90%, but whatever the discounted rate was for a period of time. So rather than getting that, they get 100% of what is going to be there now, which is zero. So, yeah, congratulations. But what's interesting to me is that Amazon isn't going out of business. It's not like their headquarter location will never exist. They're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wherever that may be, other places are, I'm assuming, are what's the right word, wooing them, going back and saying, hey, come here, we'll be glad to have you. Or the place that got HQ1, whatever that is, maybe that place just doubles in size now. I don't know, but it is, for lack of a better word, sadly comical that these people are out of touch as to what truly was lost. But
yeah, and most of the I think if the media, if you pay attention to media and the internet, you're probably going to hear that story more, right? That spin versus like, hey, New York, you know, you lost out for doing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, the challenge on this one, Chris, I'm realizing as we're talking about it, you and I have zero disagreement on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do a point counterpoint with you. I can't see any reason claimed to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. You normally say, "All right, Chris, you take one side, I'll take the other," just to kind of see what we, yeah, not to argue with you, but just to give up both sides.
Yeah.
Something on. I can't think of any way.
Well, let's try. What's the media would say? Because I would hear, mistreatment of employees.
Okay.
Right. Amazon, with big businesses, Amazon, mistreatment of employee, low wages, all this stuff.
Wait, before you go there, how many employees does Amazon have? Let's make up. I don't even know the number. Let's make something up.
Yeah, it's in the hundreds of thousands probably.
Okay. Let's just say it's 200,000 people.
Okay.
How many handcuffs does Amazon buy? Not to sell, but to use on their employees.
Zero.
So, and they don't lock the doors from the inside to keep them in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sentenced to prison, if you will. Yeah. Any one of them can walk in tomorrow. Don't you walk in and not show up, say, I quit.
Yeah. Well, let's say they open their doors in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's forced to turn in their resume.
No. Nope.
Nobody's forced to apply for a job.
No one's forced to work there. No one's forced to stay there if you do get hired. So Chris, you know, they must be incredibly evil.
Yeah.
And because if they're so evil, I wonder what, and, you know, the one politician that comes to mind is AOC. Right, the young one from
those monitors.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. If you don't know what we're talking about, there's a computer monitor whose brand name is AOC, and they're not the best quality. But I'm sure there's no, similarity or parallel there.
They're gonna sue you, man.
Yeah, I understand.
You need to say your disclaimer right
That's
now.
That's true. I'm sorry. I think they're fabulous quality. That was a misspeak on my part.
Yeah, if their sales go down, it's because of the wide reach of Investing from the Beach podcast. That means
my mom's not going to buy a monitor.
Yeah.
So, and of course, you can buy these from Amazon, but now you can't buy them from Amazon in New York. But going back to that, so if Amazon really is that evil with the employees, to your point, why are they applying for work there?
Mm-hmm.
They're not held hostage. Literally nor figuratively, you can walk out the door and leave any point in time that you like. So that doesn't seem to be it. Hey, Chris, have you ever gone to a restaurant that was bad?
Never.
Oh, come on. You mean you've had a bad meal somewhere. You walk in and go, man, this is, I won't go back.
Of course.
Are you forced to go back?
Nope.
Nope, not at all. So even though, you know, the food may be bad, service bad, whatever it may be, you're not forced to go back. It's your choice. And if the restaurant can't provide, you know, good quality food at a fair price, they're not going to be in business. And so when you hear that Amazon is evil, I think, boy, that's really interesting. People are sending in, you know, thousands of resumes to work there. And they do so much revenue. I have an Amazon account. You have an Amazon account.
Mm.
I'd be shocked if the state officials or local officials in New York don't have an Amazon account. So they do business with this big, evil, ugly, two-headed snake of a business. So it can't be that evil. So keep going. Give me the other point, counterpoint. So employees.
Employees, what else?
As customers, as a customer, we have the choice to buy it, to do business with them or not.
Well, they make too much money. You know, or they make too much money. They don't need all that tax break.
Okay.
You're about to choke.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's
so,
one of their arguments, right? It's exactly. Not my argument.
I understand. Yeah. No. Hey. So they make too much money. So, all right. So let's not do business with them as a state. You know, let's not give them the incentive to come here. So they'll go somewhere else. It's not like Amazon's going to go out of business because they can't plant their headquarter location in Long Island City.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it kind of goes down. I think when you try to do something, you want to look at what your goal is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if the state really looks at, you know, what's our goal? Is our goal to, you know, get better employment and, you know, get the unemployment rate down, right? More jobs. Isn't our goal to, collect more taxes,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think all of those goals are probably met, if you really think about it, by bringing in Amazon.
Yes.
But because I think there's a lot of ego in the way, you know, to achieve some type of agenda politically, you prevented the state from achieving those goals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it all comes down to that, you know, it was ego. It was something that, you know, and they weren't goal focused. They weren't focused on the interests of the state and the interests of the people.
I scratch my head. I just don't get it.
Like, imagine if Amazon, you know, it's not in the U.S. and they're looking to be either in the U.S. or anywhere else. Do you think the U.S. would compete like hell to get Amazon to be here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? And that's the smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I saw something like this locally where I grew up. It's a couple miles from where my folks live. Used to be the U.S. headquarters for Toyota. Just in the kind of a corner of Torrance, California. And I guess it's been about a year now, maybe a year and a half. Toyota decided to pack up. And they moved thousands of employees, and they moved to just north of Dallas. I can't remember, is it McKinney? Plano, Richardson, somewhere there, but basically just outside of Dallas. And so they picked up this huge corporate headquarter location and moved the whole thing to Dallas. And you think, my gosh, what a huge upheaval to have to go through this. And you think, why would they do that? Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of employees living in Southern California that did not stand up and say, man, I'm dying. I would love to go live in Dallas. Nothing against Dallas, but, you know, people will go if they're forced to. They're really going there because the job is there. But there wasn't suddenly this huge number of people that walked into Toyota one day and said, if you don't move to Dallas, we're all going to leave. Toyota said, well, we better keep the employees and move to Dallas. And didn't work that way. The company chose to leave for financial reasons.
And shouldn't let anybody know when you go to Dallas, right?
Yeah.
But they're going to be looking for you.
No. I mean, nothing against if you're from here.
No, I'm
messing. Yeah, I know. I understand. Yeah. But for those in Dallas that love it, that's awesome. There are many benefits to there's many benefits to here. But for the expense of picking up a business and moving it like that,
oh yeah,
there's got to be a financial benefit for that. And so you look at that and say, you know, so either Texas or Dallas or somebody gave financial incentives to get Toyota over there. But as a result now, they bring in thousands of jobs, many of them very high-paying six-figure jobs, white-collar jobs in there. It's not creating a manufacturing environment, so you don't have... environmental issues. Yeah, this is not smokestack factory stuff. It's all white collar work, and you know people are choosing to work there. You think, why would they move? Well, there's some financial incentive to do so. If Toyota hadn't moved to Dallas, they wouldn't be out of business. It's not like they had a choice of it's either Dallas or we're gonna fail as a business. Not that at all. But it's it is comically amusing, almost sad, to see the perception and the perspective to have a politician come up and saying, "New York won. We did not get. We did not lose to Amazon. We won."
Mm-hmm. I think it's a similar mindset to, hey, you know, the you know, people who are making a lot of money, let's tax the heck out of them, mm-hmm. right? so it's really just trying to, you know, really drive away success. And there was another article, I believe it's on CNBC, I didn't read it, but it was titled something Munger saying to the fact that high tax states is, right, they're driving out wealthy people or the mm-hmm. wealthy.
Yep.
Yeah. Whether it's people or businesses, right? And so, you know, when you do that, you think, oh, cool, you know, we win. It's like, no, right? The businesses, the wealthy, they're the one that's putting money to create jobs and businesses, right? And that's what drives the economy and communities. Mm-hmm. I think I shared with you, you know, when you look at, you know, even Las Vegas, right? People don't flock to Las Vegas, you know, because it's a nice desert, right?
Yeah, that
they
is not
there for jobs. They go there because there's businesses. That's right. And that's why there's jobs. Mm-hmm. And then there's a community that gets created because of that. But if the businesses move out, Las Vegas will become a ghost town
yes.
again.
Yep.
You know, and so. You know, when you do this to you create an environment that's not favorable for, you know, people who work hard, who, you know, who are creative, right? Who wanna take risks.
Yep.
Right. And they're not going to, you know, they're gonna go somewhere else. They're not gonna be there.
What there's a great movie, and now I can't remember the title of it, and I'm tired so I can't remember the guy's name, but not Bugsy Siegel. Not Meyer Lansky. Oh man, I can't think of the guy's name. But some gangster, I think he was might have been out of LA.
Okay.
Had the vision and the foresight to say, hey, if we went out to the middle of the desert, just across the line from California to Nevada, we could set up this casino in the small little desert outpost, and people will flock here to gamble. And, you know, we'll put in, you know, free booze and nice swimming pools and air conditioning and all that stuff to attract people to come in here. And people thought he was nuts, but he had this vision about here's what he wants to do. And mm-hmm. it's exactly what you just said. A business will start. And because of that business, people come to the community
yeah.
for the services and the products that the business provides. And then to potentially work for the business. And then you get the ancillary support of supporting businesses that are required to there to provide the customers or employees other things that the original business can't do, and the community grows around it.
If you build it, they will come. That's what happens.
I thought you were going to say, I see dead people.
Yeah.
But that is what happens. And so you look at it and think, well, so if there is no business, nobody's there. Now, nice thing about New York City, there's lots
of
business.
I see dead people. Yeah, they're all around us. You try to help them, they're not listening.
That's true. That's true. They're evil. Yeah, it is the mystery of the mind. I just don't know. I just don't get it.
Yeah, but that's the so if you think about it, it starts with the community, mm-hmm. Or it starts with the businesses and you know the products and the services that serves the community, and so people will flock to that,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you don't have that, you're not going to have anything.
Correct.
So you know we get complacent and we think you know we deserve everything, but we don't realize how valuable the businesses are around us, you know are. And I think if you go to a developing community, Chris, like a third world,
mm-hmm.
Businesses, they treat customers worse because you need them.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? You need them.
Just on me.
So people start, you know, they value business more. It's like, you know, you need to buy something to fix your roof. Where else? What are you going to get? How are you going to get the supplies?
Yep. But you can even see, I hadn't even thought about this till you were just saying that. Even without going into third world country, you can go into a depressed, lower socioeconomic area in the States. you know, pick a, I'm trying to think of an, Compton, right? You say Compton anywhere and people think, ooh, not a good area, rough. Not money, a lot of social issues, all that. How many huge businesses are headquartered in Compton? There aren't any. You got, you know, there's a few industrial things. There's a few of them have
Waxy locations. Supply Company. I know because I used to sell to them.
For those of you that may not know what Waxy Supply Company is, or the name rings a bell, you're just not sure where, and you're male. The next time you're in a public restroom and you're standing at the urinal, read the label on the urinal cake. And it's, that is a Waxy product. What in the hell made you think of that?
Yeah, you say Compton, man. I would think it was off the 91 and something.
I understand. But there are no, there's not a lot of huge industrial or a lot of business that's there. And as a result, the city, the community doesn't have a lot of opportunity. And look what happens to it. It's not an area that you want to live. Not an area you want to be. Newark, New Jersey. Right? Used to have a lot of stuff. As it is now, very rough area. Just about any rough part of, you know, pick any city and the rough part of the city, the, you know, ghetto part of the city, whatever you want to call it, rundown area, there's not a lot of economic activity in that area. And as a result, then, people don't want to be there. And so, now granted, New York City is not in that situation because they didn't get Amazon. Not at all. But that's an extreme of what you see. Alternatively, if you get opportunity and business there, the community thrives.
But man, these businesses, they're making so damn much money.
They're evil, they're evil, they're evil. And because they're evil and make so much money, they make so much money, nobody wants to do business with them.
Mm-hmm. The stock prices, you know, keep going up and up and up, and they're making all this money.
Yeah, so of course nobody wants to do business with them because look how much money they keep making.
Yep, but you know what's funny is, like, you could buy their stocks.
Well, there's two sides of it. One, yeah,
education is not advice because I understand. I didn't give you a company name.
Yeah, I did not name it, but think about it. If a company is doing really well and people continue to buy stuff there, and everything, yeah, doing it profitably, the stock price will rise. And there's a do you know who Yogi Berra is?
Yeah, you mentioned to me a philosopher.
Yeah, kind of, but a baseball player back in the 50s and 60s. And a very unique perspective on the world. And a, just almost, it wouldn't, he didn't get tongue-tied, it's almost like he got brain-tied sometimes when people would ask him questions. And he would just, somebody once interviewed him, they said, hey, Yogi, how do we get to your house? He said, well, you go down this road and you turn here, and then when you get to the fork in the road, you take it. And you're like, what? No, on a fork in the road, you either go right or go left. And his answer was, you just take the fork in the road. Mm. People are like, okay. And now the reality is, the fork in the road, both roads ended up in the same spot. So it actually ended up working. But they used to give him grief for that. And he was also once quoted one time, they asked him if he'd been to this very famous restaurant in New York City. And his reply was, nah, nobody goes there anymore. The lines are too long. It's okay. You got to think about it. That'll sink in. You think, well, it must be horrible. That's why there's so many lines out there. Amazon must be evil. That's where mm-hmm. they're doing so much business. Yeah. Walmart must be evil. That's why they're doing so much business.
And so many people work for them.
Hundreds of thousands of people work there. But according to the media, you read the stories, they think, my gosh, everybody hates it. Mm-hmm. Nobody's forcing them to work there. They could leave tomorrow and go somewhere else.
Yeah, and only the employees shop there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they wash each other's shirts. That's the only service and stuff that they provide. It's stunning. I think, too, the issue, not the issue, but the issue is when you're an employee, you think a lot differently than if you own the business.
Absolutely.
And it's, I don't think I recognized, I heard that when I was an employee at IBM. I didn't understand it.
Till you left, right?
Till I left, and then get out in the business world, I guess, where you're out from under the umbrella of the corporate, I don't know what the right word is.
Spell.
Yeah, it's not even a spell. It's all, I had a buddy describe it years ago, and he said, you know, the good and the bad about corporate America, he said, it's like a kitten, and you're just sucking on the mama's tits,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're just getting the milk from the mother cat, and there's no reason to leave. I think the right word was teat. Anyway, whatever that is. But the idea is you've got this food source, you're comfortable, mm-hmm. no reason to leave. And then once you leave, either of your own choice or not of your choice, and now you've got to make a go of it on your own, you have a totally different perspective.
Yeah, it's the baby blanket.
Yes, yep, that's exactly it.
You left the baby blanket.
I guess, too, you know, using, you know, we were talking about the freshman congresswoman or whatever from New York, Ocasio-Cortez, yep. Mm-hmm. And they give her grief, and you know, we got to give her credit because nobody knew who this woman was 3-4 months ago. And now everybody knows the name. So to her credit, she's done incredibly well because she's become known, across the nation. But you know, whatever it was a year ago, she was working as a bartender or as a waitress in some bar in Brooklyn or the Bronx or wherever she was.
Mm-hmm.
But not as the owner, but as the employee.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting if she owned the bar or the restaurant, whatever it was that she worked in.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different perspective.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she would, I'm sure she would understand this to say, well, you know, if there were, let's say that she was the bartender. So you had the bartender, a server, maybe a waitress or a waiter or two.
Mm-hmm.
A cleanup person and a dishwasher and maybe a manager. So you've got 6-7 employees. How come the business didn't hire 40 employees?
Yeah.
Right? Not enough work for everybody. And yeah. if the business were forced to do that, they'd go out of business. And so the business owner has to walk the line or figure out the balance between enough people there to get the job done versus too many people and having too high of overhead in salary. And then not being able to employ everybody because the whole thing goes under.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? We can only just speculate.
Yeah, I mean, it's we talked about taxing the wealthy,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a great concept. You know, it's if it's like everybody is just, you know, fair and, hey, you know, I don't need all this money I'm making and let me just help you out and give you some fish, and right, sounds all great, but you know, it doesn't work that way because it's a short-term thinking, right? In the long term, you're going to see that fail because you're not motivating people to work, you're not motivating people to create, and so it will all collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to this point, right, where we are as a nation, where we are as right. As far as the wealth, right, that's being developed, it's because we didn't think that way, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So why are we thinking that way? We'll go back.
I guess two things out of that. One is, and this is not about politics.
It's not. It's about how to think.
It's about how to think. This is not mm-hmm. This is not a rip on one political party and a pat on the back for the other one. Not at yeah. all. This is totally about how to think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you mentioned earlier, AOC, right?
Uh-huh.
She's, I mean, I applaud her, for, you know, being, you know, on the stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's got to have that strong work ethic. But I think what she's putting it in the wrong direction, wrong mindset,
mm-hmm.
Because it's not short term. We all want everyone to, you know, have money and, you know, live, you know, above poverty and all that stuff, right? But, you know, how many people are going to be willing to work, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so when you create an environment where people aren't willing to work, right, because everyone is, you know, going to be equal, it's not going to work out.
I heard something a long time ago, and I thought it was a great way to think about it. The way you help somebody beneath you is you pull them up. You reach down and you pull them up. Mm-hmm. You don't stand beneath them and push them up. You offer the helping hand.
Yeah.
And they have to do some effort as, you know, you pull and they climb on their own as well.
Yeah.
But if you stand underneath and push, it doesn't work.
Yeah, because you can't think that way down there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And so you can help those that want to help themselves. Again, by, you know, you reach the helping hand, you help some and they help some. But if you have to do all the pushing underneath, it doesn't work. Right? It's got to be a two-dimensional, what the right word is, both sides have to be participating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see. I guess the other side of it too is, and we talked earlier, and we did the episode where you're in Vietnam, you know, a few episodes back, and we were talking about most of the people that you ran into there, what percent would like to come to the States? And your answer without even hit, like, all of them. Right. And now granted, I know it's not going to be 100%, but a very, very high percentage would want to come here. Mm-hmm. And it isn't because we've got government handouts. It isn't because we got government involvement in everything that take care of everybody. It's almost the opposite in that there's opportunity here. And if you're just willing to work, the opportunity is all over the place. Am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I mean, it's right. You know, I think you don't have the restrictions and the limitations that, you know, you would have in other countries. As far as, you know, starting businesses or, you know, education that's available to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and many other things, right? But, you know, those are a few reasons that, you know, people want to get out here into the U.S.
And so the country has been here and was formed on that ability and that capability. And now with these kind of actions, like, well, wait a minute, we're chipping away at that foundation. Interesting. Very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, some examples of, you know, I think that understanding or that shift in thinking typically happens when somebody, you know, is, you know, an employee. And then, like you said, you leave that baby blanket and then you start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And you start paying all these taxes and stuff, right?
Yep.
And you start seeing, okay, the values that you're creating. And then as you're trying to create more value and grow the business, which serves the community more, they want to tax you more,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Or they want to make it more favorable for you. So that's not the environment that, you know, is promoting for businesses to grow.
Correct.
Right? And then, you know, I have friends that have done it where they became, you know, switched from employee to business owners. You know, very different when you talk to those guys versus someone who's always been an employee. Yeah, very different mentality.
In what way?
They see it in a way where, you know, I think they creating, they're serving or providing. And they're not asking for handouts.
Nope.
Or like they're not blaming, hey, give me, or, you know, why, you know, this is that, why I can't have this, why I can't, right?
Yep. And they're watching the clock.
Yeah, and they're looking for ways to make things happen. And then the other mindsets is typically, you know, how come I'm being mistreated? And it's always, you know, it's never my fault. It's, right, it's something being done to me. I'm a victim. So you usually I see the two different mindset there when I talk to friends who are employees and friends who are business owners.
I deserve more. I should be paid more.
Mm-hmm.
The business owner's like, what can I do to provide more? And if I do that, then I can make more.
Yep.
But I've got to do the work first and then hopefully get paid afterwards as a result of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it with the understanding that it may fail. They put all this effort in and come out with a zero. And thus willing to take that risk. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, we told you about our mutual friend that had some employees, and I think the manager of his business said, knowing that he was kind of the key guy, the main guy that runs the business for him,
mm-hmm.
He came up to him and said, hey, what are you going to do if I quit? Right? And he responded back to the employee. He said, I just shut the business down. He said, what are you going to do if I close the business down? The employees didn't have an answer.
Yep.
He had no idea that the owner was just keeping the business to give him a job.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, business was, I'm assuming, profitable for him to keep doing it, but not enough to warrant.
Yeah, basically it was just not enough to, you know, for him to want to keep going.
Correct. Correct. It generates enough to cover the expenses, but not a hugely profitable endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Interesting.
But yeah, it's a good example of what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? So did Amazon win or did New York win?
Yeah, I don't think it's a fight, you know.
Exactly.
It's really Amazon realized they're not going to get their goals met here.
Yep.
And they left.
And they'll go look somewhere else.
Yeah. And then New York didn't realize where their goals were.
Yes. Yep.
And thought they won or lost or whatever. But really, I don't think they achieved the goals.
No. Neither one. You
know, yeah. If you're trying to serve the community in the state or the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, not there at all.
You want to do your disclaimer now?
The good thing is we did not give any financial advice.
Okay.
And since
didn't give you any political advice either, right?
No political advice. We did not name a party, not throwing darts at anybody. It truly is a how to think. And it's not attacking any one of these individuals. It's pointing out, it's like, and maybe I'm not seeing it. I doubt it, but there's a flaw in the thinking. They're huge. Something is really going misunderstood. And the only thing I can hope is that Trump uses the word fake news. I don't think this is fake news. I'm just hoping that the media is jumping on it for some reason, whatever reason they're doing it. But, you know, I'm not in New York, so I can't speak to everybody there. But if the general mood of the mood of the general populace is, yeah, New York lost, okay, then I feel better. If the general mood of the populace is, no, New York won because Amazon's not there, then, uh-oh. Well, I guess, actually, you know what, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Because for those of us that recognize how to do this, it just realized that, wow, this road is even less populated than I thought it was on the path to getting to freedom. But yeah, it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how this, I won't say plays out, but plays out over the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, and it's when you listen to a news item like this, especially nowadays, the news are very opinionated, right? So you got to learn how to just filter out information.
Mm-hmm.
So from reading an article like this, all you got to know is, all right, Amazon's not going to have a headquarter there.
Yes.
Didn't work out. Cool.
Yep.
And when you look at it, you know, from a who lose or win or whatever, Amazon, nothing.
Yes. Yep.
They're just going to go somewhere else. Look at their stock price. It looks fine.
You know,
no reaction.
That's a huge point to make. Next time next time you read a news story about something, and it could be related to this New York versus Amazon. I won't even call it a battle. New York or Amazon in New York issue or non-issue now if they're not going to be there. But as you read the article, read it first to kind of see what they're talking about. Then read it again and keep your eyes open as to how many sentences or paragraphs have opinions inserted in there or have words in there that are trying to get you to sway or trying to sway you to the right, to the author's opinion. And it could be blatant, it could be subtle, but it's really rare to find a unbiased news story. You know, if it's related to Trump, it's always, well, you know, he's the accused, potentially impeached, whatever kind of, you know, negative words you can put on there.
Yeah, I think they just care about ratings nowadays. It's not about, giving you facts anymore. It's like,
there's an opinion on it.
Yeah, they make anything opinionated that causes more, you know, drama or, that stirs up controversy or something.
Yep.
Yeah, that just, you know, creates some attention.
It's, you know, used to be when you, I was talking to my folks about this the last couple of weeks. They're one of the few people, I think, and maybe it's just an age group thing, but they watch the evening news. So they turn on the television late at night and they'll catch, you know, here's what went on in the world today. And I've asked them, I said, you know, when you do that, it's never good. You never hear good news off that. You know, if there's 10 news stories, you know, usually 9.5 of them are bad. And the old line is, if it bleeds, it leads. So the leading story is usually about some tragedy somewhere. Hit by a car, murder,
fire,
shooting.
Rape, kidnap. Yep,
exactly.
Burglary or something, yep. Robbery.
It's always bad news. You don't ever get, quote-unquote, good news on the news. And so what we were talking about, I said, do you guys get, you know, they're on the internet doing whatever they're doing. I said, do you guys read news there? And they paused and they thought of it. I said, no, I mean, a little bit. We get some, but we're getting it off of the, you know, off of the TV news. And they said, no, wait a minute. Yeah, we do get some of it there. And I said, but now next time you read the news article, pay attention and you'll see it's written with a slant. And they're like, oh yeah, clearly, you know, and they have an opinion as to whether it's Fox or MSNBC. There's one that they lean toward and they know it's slanted, but they hadn't really thought about the difference between getting it that way versus getting it off the television. Hadn't registered with them. So it's just, it's interesting to, you're not always, you're almost kind of blinded to it because you're finding articles that agree with your opinion. It's just interesting to see.
Yeah, and then it's really it's better to be neutral and then apply your own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you read these articles, just gather the facts, right?
Yes.
And then you use your own thinking. And so that's why it's so important to develop the mindset, right? To allow you to gather all this stuff and filter out all the crap that doesn't make sense, or it's kind of, you know, opinionated and it's going to lead you in the wrong direction, right? If you follow it. Yeah.
It's basically be able to filter out an opinion so you can come up to your own judgment and your own conclusion. And whether it be right or wrong doesn't matter. It's your own. It's not the fact that it's somebody else's. So that was my poor disclaimer. And neither one of us is employed, so you never should listen to anything that we tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we didn't tell you to do anything, so it worked out okay this time.
You mentioned all the website stuff, all the things you can do. What if they want to get some Bruce Lee dolls?
Then they go to investingfromthebeach.com and look for the order page.
Okay.
Now watch. If somebody sends us a request, say they want to buy it, are you going to sell yours?
Be out of stock.
Well, no, yeah, because you don't have any Bruce Lee dolls. You have Bruce Lee action figures.
Yeah, out of stock indefinitely. Yeah,
and there's a huge difference because it's not a doll. It's just an action figure.
Yeah, let me know if you want the big one or the small one.
Yeah, no problem. So, all right, any other words of wisdom there?
That's all I have to add.
That's it. You concur. I have nothing left to add. The idea behind us doing this podcast is to share our experience and our knowledge and our opinions as to what it takes to get to and remain at time freedom. And the way that we describe time freedom to people is to really, it's to represent it by going to the beach midweek and listening to the waves on a Tuesday. And the beauty of doing that is that it is much less crowded. Everybody else goes on a weekend. You got to deal with the crowds and all this annoying stuff. But if you get out to the beach on a Tuesday, and you truly listen to the waves, they sound so much better than any wave you'll ever hear on a weekend. And so our visual of time freedom is being able to get to the beach on a Tuesday wave. We know that if you'll put into practice what we've talked about in this episode, in prior episodes, and in upcoming episodes, you too can eventually get to the point where all you listen to are Tuesday Waves, and they are definitely the way to go. As always, we appreciate your time, and we thank you for listening. We'll look forward to speaking to you next time. Take care.